You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Everything's gonna be all right.
I believe him.
Why was he singing that, Jimmy Butler, at the press conference?
Everything's gonna be all right.
Because everything's gonna be all right, Dan.
Because they're up 3-1. I mean,
doesn't sound like Nickelback to me.
Everything's gonna be all right.
I've got to be 100% honest on this, and I'm compromised here because this. I want content first, and I've disagreed with the people around here for a long time about when sports are the most fun, because I say it's most fun when you're really terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this to become difficult. I want Jimmy Butler to shake a little bit with, he says, of course, up 3-1, everything. We, he's saying, have won the first two games in Boston. We'll win a game 5 there or a game 7 there or whatever needs to be won there. And it's nice that he says it. But I want everyone to be scared because it's more fun when everyone's scared.
You want the series to come back 3-2 with Heat fans having that fear, living with that fear that they're a loss, a home loss away from a game 7 on the Celtics home court.
No, I want more than that. I want,
you want the game 7?
I want a game 7 in Boston.
Everything's going to be all right.
That's the most fun.
No, it's not.
6 would be fun.
No, the most
sweeping them would have been really fun.
Yeah, the most fun is that we would have been talking about Denver Heat
for 2 weeks.
Yeah, for like this would have been the most fun because then I get to move on. Like now I have to like go back
oh,
and
no,
watch
but
stuff.
I,
like
no, but I view this. Yeah, okay. You guys want to stop working?
Yeah, pretty much.
I want it to get harder.
Whoa. I'm so sick of talking about the series. Please let it
All right,
end.
Then we will bring in your friend from Sports Illustrated, Rohan Nadkarni, started at the Miami Herald, a real and legitimate journalist who got boxed out of the first hour of the show, just like Jeremy did, because there's no room for journalism around here.
Everything's gonna be all
Rohan,
right.
Welcome.
Is that what Jeremy's
yeah,
doing?
That's what I was gonna
What do you want as a content maker who's supposed to be objective but wants the best story? What do you want?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue against a Game 7 happening, especially after last year. The Game 7 was in Miami. I think Miami having to go to Boston and win a Game 7 after what happened last season, it fits narratively for these two teams as opposed to a sweep.
Why are you guys, honestly, because you don't want to cover a Game 7? You don't want to see Grant, because quiet as it's kept, Grant Williams It ain't revenge, but if you do that in a game seven, we're going to call it revenge. If you block Jimmy Butler's shot like that, if you do it and the game seven looks like yesterday did, we're going to say, oh, well, at the end of that series, that's interesting.
No, please, no game sevens. I've already emptied the milk thistle. My liver cannot take a game seven.
Is that what you call that thing?
I'm about to say.
Rohan, what are you seeing that are the interesting parts of this series? Because we do a funny thing with the myth-making and the storytelling around these legends. Jimmy Butler missed an awful lot in the paint yesterday with the ability to close out Boston and didn't look very much like, last night, the best player in the court. That seemed to be Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think the way Jimmy Butler has played in the playoffs is a very high-risk, high-reward strategy. He's running way more isolations than he does in the regular season, which means he has to be able to score one-on-one against Boston's defenders. When he's hitting mid-range jumpers over Derek White, he looks like a mixture of prime Kobe and prime Michael Jordan. When he's not able to get hit those shots, the Heat's offense, as we saw in Game 4, looks a lot different. I think Boston's just done a really good job of crowding the paint against Jimmy. Those shots he was hitting in Games 1 to 3, those are tough shots. You know, there's a reason why Boston is leaving him on an island on those switches. They want him to make mid-range tough jumpers over and over again. And that's why it's such a high-risk, high-reward strategy.
But with three games left potentially in the series, you got to think one more of those games, Jimmy Butler is going to be able to hit those difficult shots.
One more Jimmy game, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you'll be fine. I can't be the only one that's familiar with milk thistle.
Oh, no. I've heard that it's both good for the liver and bad for the liver. I've tried
You've
it.
Heard, it's, wait a second. Bad for the liver?
How can it be both?
All right, so
choose a side, Dan.
Here, yeah, you can't. It can't be both. It can't be both ends.
I will tell you where it is that I will tell you why it is that I have information that I did not know that you would need about milk thistle today. I have been taking it for my liver and was told to stop taking it with the other things that I'm taking.
Are the other things alcohol?
Yes.
Wait a second.
Oh no!
Wait!
He's back!
Wait! You mean to tell me there's a supplement that's good for your liver and bad for your liver? It can't be both. Pick a side.
Wait, Dan, I think it's okay.
Wait, you gotta wait for your intro.
Yeah, I
there.
Wasn't. Wait,
oh,
hold on.
Sorry.
Billy's not here. You can't just fly in here.
Recast this? Is this Batman?
No. Yeah, hold on a second.
I'm Batman now.
Is it James Bond role? No, there's an angel and a demon.
This is the new Aunt Viv.
Yeah, but the,
no, what is Bane doing here?
The angel.
I've discovered milk thistle the same way everyone does. By one night Googling how to make my liver healthier by also not quitting drinking. And milk thistle was the answer. I'm very disappointed if it's not the solution.
If you take care of your liver, you will live-er. It's in the word. See, that's the part that people aren't quite getting.
I've enjoyed chatting with you guys. I love the new digs. Number one, the spa is phenomenal. A little weird signage in the bathroom at that 10th floor. I'm not sure what that's about.
So self-involved.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. I just have one more question for you on my way out. And is it, should the Heat have rested their starters in game four? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, this is the part that you're not understanding, because I do want to talk about milk thistle in a way that I was not aware I wanted to talk about today.
What an odd place for him to make an appearance.
Yeah, well, also Emmanuel Acho made an appearance in an odd place as well. However,
and what does this mean for LeBron's legacy?
Yes, thank you for all your thoughts.
Just know that Jordan never got swept in the conference finals.
One of the things that's happening around here that is both unfortunate and yelled about by our audience is that we have a revolving cast of characters around here, some of whom know the rules and some of whom don't. The Dirty Demon of Debate made an appearance there and was not aware that the Angel of Nuance was here in any way, because the Angel of Nuance wasn't. However...
Well, you recasted it.
No, hold on. I didn't recast it.
Somebody has to step in, Dan.
Wouldn't you recast the Angel?
Nuance Viv.
He's like all of a sudden James Bond is blonde and blue-eyed. It doesn't make any sense.
But Dan didn't do anything. Someone decided on their
own. That's correct. There was a freelancing Angel of Nuance here that I did not know was here that wanted to argue with the Dirty Demon of Debate, who's also responsible for his entrance music, which I don't know if came over from ESPN.
certainly not ready for it.
I know.
How could you be?
Because you were busy doing something else.
Well, it's just the Angels played by a guy with glasses.
Yes, I understand the Angels.
I mean, he's got glasses.
But the Angel of Nuance was here to argue with the dirty demon of debate. Was here to do it. Was here to step in to Wally Pip. Because I missed the Angel of Nuance. Where's the Angel of Nuance?
Who's not here, Dan?
No, it's not you. Who's Rohan?
Why is Rohan here?
Must be so
he
confused.
He said something about a narrative. I like that. Love narratives.
I'd be totally okay.
Speaking of narratives, is Anthony Davis an everyday player? Because George Carl on nationally syndicated radio show, he said he's not.
A terrible interview by me yesterday.
You didn't ask him about Melo on Carmelo Day.
I didn't ask him about any good things. I failed there. But Rohan, in general, I would say there's a lot of failing going on around here and too many voices. So I'll add you to the mix now. Would you like to argue with the dirty demon of debate about why it is that he has killed sports writing and journalism and any, would you like to argue on behalf of what it is that you do that is informed and researched and good and what he does, which is just sports television
yeah,
debate?
Yeah, argue with me. Come on, please.
I mean, why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because Rohan, looked at Mike and was like, is that what he's supposed to be?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought he was doing Batman because Jess was doing Bane. Also,
I don't understand the
also,
brain
this is not just a voice. It's a very physical performance.
It is.
There's, the legs under the table was like a duck.
Talents.
I've never seen anything quite like that. It was such a... He embodied. It was.
He had talons on the top and hooves on the bottom.
Yes.
Rohan, let me explain how this goes. You say something, and then I talk about Dak Prescott's contract. Do they regret it or not?
Rohan, you go ahead and argue on behalf of the merits of people reading the written word in Sports Illustrated, and then.
And I will cut to an Aaron Judge at bat. That's what I will do. All right? So you talk about journalism and how it's all been ruined. And I'll talk about the Lakers offseason.
I don't even know where to begin.
We don't blame you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm arguing on behalf of journalism. Is that what?
Why it will win in the modern age against dirty debate television of Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith.
I just think as, brilliant writers as Dan Le Batard have shown over the years, people crave nuance in their sports opinions, There's a time and a place for people like the Demon of Debate, but at the end of the day, it always comes back to, people want to know more than just things like, is Anthony Davis an everyday player?
What is he? What is he?
I really don't want to know anymore, to be honest with you.
I heard that LeBron's got college eligibility. We discuss with Chris Mad Dog Russo next.
Maybe I actually want to join the Demon of Debate.
Well, that's the thing. It's so much more fun.
We're having a lot more fun.
Yes, so much
this
better.
This is how it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Pure hedonism down here.
It's so much more vitality.
I've been having sex the entire time I've been talking to you with all sorts of things.
Pronged.
The vigor is enviable.
Is Milk Thistle good for you, though?
Thank you. I've been wanting to talk about it.
Is it good or bad?
Here's what happened to me, Dirty Demon of Debate. I've got, not surprisingly, I did an ultrasound, and I've got fatty liver.
Oh, congratulations to you.
Wow, finally.
Hey, little baby fatty liver.
What doctor did you go to, man? Was it Mike? Was Mike the doctor?
What a great prank. Here, come here. Let me give you an ultrasound. You got a little baby in you. I tell you, you got a fatty liver. I could have told you that. Look in the mirror.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Could you tell Dan had a fatty liver from look in the mirror?
The guy went to school for that?
But you don't really want to know why Milk Thistle has been my conundrum over the last few months, do you? You don't really care about
I want to know if LeBron is gone.
You
is LeBron
Turner's?
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Libertard.
If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
Stugatz.
Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, has a limited-time offer for new customers. Use code DAN when you sign up on the DraftKings Sportsbook app to check it out.
Admire this guy, Stugatz, for a number of different reasons. He's already figured out his next career while partaking in one that's pretty hard to conquer that he's in the middle of. C.J. McCollum, very good at basketball, might be better at broadcasting, which is saying something. I also like your thoughts.
I think he'd tell you he's better at basketball. I think he would tell you that.
Okay, we will find out together. He's a frequent guest and friend of Stupidity, but I wanted to start, before we got to the silliness and fun with you, with the serious topic of the day in basketball, and I don't know how to reach out to Ja Morant with something that feels like compassion and humanity and love, and not just bash this young kid who is now on IG and deleting, deleting stuff that feels like goodbye messages. And I don't know what's going on with him mentally. I do know that the media climate and social media and fame in the day can contaminate and corrupt even those who aren't suffering with mental illness, just suffering from fame. From young famous person. So I thought you might help us walk through some of that as somebody who's become an adult in the league.
Yeah, I think I can't speak for our younger generation of players because obviously I'm 31 now and I got the tail end of social media. Twitter came out my junior year of college. There was no Uber. There was no Postmates. There was not a lot of the distractions that they're going through now. I remember communicating with people on Facebook. And you know how that's kind of continued to evolve. But I think for our younger guys in the league, dealing with a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of generational trauma that's being passed down from our parents and, you know, our ancestors. And I think there are obviously better ways we can all cope with some of the stress that we're dealing with. And I think for me, it's about encouraging people to build on healthy habits. For me, I have a therapist that I see. I believe in meditation. I believe in yoga. I believe in time alone. And the mental health side of it and the mental wellness side of sports in general is sometimes undervalued. I think sometimes by athletes underappreciated. I think it's a sign for all of us. You know, as you continue to get older, as you continue to develop, there are ways that we can cope with the stresses that we're dealing with. And I point back to DeMar DeRozan. I point back to Kevin Love. Oftentimes people see us making a lot of money, which is great. And we're thankful for it. And we're really happy, but they don't necessarily see the trauma and the behind the scenes that a lot of players and a lot of people in general are dealing with. And you may feel strong and look strong, but deep down, there's always issues that we're facing and things that we're going through. And what I always encourage young players to do is figure out healthy ways to cope with the things that you're going through, and don't be afraid to talk to professionals. Don't feel like you have to deal with things by yourself. And this isn't just about Ja Morant. This is about guys in general throughout the league who historically have been taught to be strong and to man up and to toughen up. And they aren't necessarily dealing with the problems head on the way that they should. And oftentimes we travel for a living. We're in different cities. We miss a lot of holidays. We miss a lot of important times with our family. And you're given a lot of money that you earn, right, early on, and you're not necessarily taught how to deal with it, how to manage it, how to manage the expectations that come with it. And I think for us, it's about heading in the right direction, teaching the proper education, surrounding not only financially what's at stake here, but how to kind of maneuver this society that is constantly watching you and expecting you to be perfect. And just to be honest, we're all not perfect. And if you look at a lot of older NBA players and athletes in general, they'll tell you they made lots of mistakes that were never captured on camera because of where we're at today.
CJ, there's not really room, okay, for a lot of this kind of nuance. So walk me through this as somebody who's the president of the NBA Players Association, the host of the CJ McCollum podcast. He's a point guard for the Pelicans, but he can really help people from this space, because beyond mental health and just transitioning to fame and money, beyond that, You've got a race crisis in America, and your league, Adam Silver has said, man, these guys seem unhappy. He's actually said out loud, there seems to be a lot of unhappy. And then, you know, people think Kyrie Irving is going crazy over there. And I just walk me through the pressures, understanding what it is to have to be great. And I got to be better and more cutthroat than all these guys at shooting a basketball. I'm chasing Steph and Dame on just, I've got to be precise there. And also, oh, look, my arena's filled with the N-word still, and America's divided on racial issues, and John Morant is getting clubbed by the media because, what, he wants to look like a gangster on Instagram. Please, it's complicated subject matter, but you're more than equipped for the terrain.
Yeah, I think, for me personally, I can walk you through my journey, right? You know, I get drafted at a Lehigh University. And I think the first time I really had like depression and anxiety and stress beyond what I could probably handle was when I got injured and dealing with injuries, you know, fracturing my foot my senior year of college, my senior season evaporated right before my very eyes. And that's when I got involved in meditation. That's when I started doing yoga, hot yoga, practicing, you know, breathing techniques to kind of figure out how to keep my heart rate low and deal with the stresses of the pressure of wanting to make it, to be able to provide for your family, feeling like you let yourself down, feeling like you let your family down. You fast forward to my rookie year, I break my foot again the last day of training camp. And dealing with injuries for me created a different level of stress that I wasn't accustomed to, because for the first time, the game is taken away from you, right? Like the thing that you've done your entire life, the thing that you've sacrificed for your entire life is taken away, and you have to figure out ways to cope with it. So that was my stress. And obviously you have the implications of things that you deal with in regards to your family, immediate and not so immediate family, the pressures of the financial stress that you kind of take on, you know, as a professional athlete, because you're the breadwinner and everybody knows exactly how much money you make. So you have that type of pressure, not necessarily knowing how to deal with the financial rigors of having money, being the first person in your family or the first generation millionaire, if you will. Like, it's very difficult. And there's no like book for how to maneuver that space. There's no book for how to hire. Like, you have to kind of figure things out on the fly, and you're going to make mistakes, but it's more so trying to learn from the mistakes that you make. And I think for players, I haven't even talked about the pressure of performance, right? The pressure of performance in this league is unlike anything it's ever been. And as a member of like ESPN, right? Like, you see how players are critiqued on a day-to-day basis. You see the slander, like a guy like Anthony Davis, who's arguably one of the best players ever. He's a top 75. Like, the slander he faces when he goes and averages 22 and 14, and people are like, well, he's got to do more. Like, he's got to do more. And it's like, well, his defensive net rating is plus 37. Like, how much more do you want him to do? Like, this is two sides of the coin. And it's not like as players, we go out there and try not to perform well. If people seen like our day-to-day schedule, what goes into our preparation, the time we get up, the treatment table stuff, the core, the stability stuff that you do, the shooting in practice, the shooting after practice, the film work, like, they wouldn't understand it because they've never had to actually live the life. And I think Brian talks about it all the time, like the man in the arena. Like, you're not in the arena, so you don't understand the pressure. And I'm not even talking about the pressure to perform, the pressure to understand that, like, the guy you're playing against, like for AD in this case, was Joker, right? Like, arguably the greatest big man ever, and he's still got years left. He's unstoppable, right? Like, the pressure of performance. You talked about the guard position for a guy like Ja. He got to go through a road trip where he'll have to go against Dame. He'll have to go against Steph Curry. He'll have to go against Luka Doncic. Like, basketball is fun and I love it, and they pay us a lot of money. But like, this sport is very difficult. It's very demanding, and it's a lot on your mental, physical, not to mention a road trip in which you'll go do, you know, 5-7 or 5-8, finish with a back to back. It's a lot. And as the saying goes, too much is given, much is required. And we just have to figure out ways, as I said before, to better cope with the lifestyle of this sport, the attention that comes with this sport, the social media aspect of this sport, and how I say it all the time, they hate it on Jesus too. So no matter how perfect you are, right, as a basketball player, no matter how good you are, average 20, average 25, average 30, Steph was a unanimous MVP, and people still critique his game and talk about him. Michael Jordan, arguably one of the greatest ever, still talk about him. I'm watching people talk about how LeBron didn't do enough in his 38, in his 20th season. He played the entire game except for 20 seconds when he walked off the court with 4 seconds left in the first half. And they're talking about like why he passed the ball to Dennis Schroeder. It's like, what do you expect? Like, what do you want to see? Like, the guy has already done the unthinkable, right? Come back from 3-1. But it's always about what you didn't do as opposed to people celebrating what you've accomplished. And I think that's the problem with this sport. At times, I think too many people have a voice. And as a journalist, like, you respect the ability to be able to talk and to speak up and to critique. But I think at times the wrong people are speaking and they're not educated on the topics they're speaking on. And it's flooding the realm of our social media world.
Hey,
you didn't even get to the race element. You didn't. And, yeah. And you had plenty there to deal with stress. Now make it black guys performing for a divided America after George Floyd, after the bubble. But I mean, you've got stuff here.
I got, because CJ, you know, one of the things that I think is also unique to some players, and you fit in this category, is the idea that nobody knew who I was. And then all of a sudden, you are not just wealthy, but also incredibly well known. I look at someone like Ja, for example. Like, he wasn't the number one player in his high school class, you know, and moving through the ranks or whatever, and came in kind of already as a built brand. He played at a small school. He was a number two pick, but was a relative unknown to, like, the mass public. So what's it like going from, yeah, I could walk down the street, no one knows who I am, to all of a sudden now everybody knows who I am?
It's different, and it's difficult, and it puts a strain on you. And I think I read an article about Steph Curry, right? And this is the extreme example of celebrity, the extreme example of his life will never be the same. He could never go to the movies again without renting out the entire movie theater. He can't walk into a Whole Foods grocery store and go shopping with his family. He probably has security just about everywhere he goes. He can't go on a normal walk unless he's in a gated community. He can't go on a walk with his dog or whatever the case may be and lead a normal life. He can't walk down, you know, he can't walk Central Park when he's in New York with his family. Like, I can do those things and people still recognize me, but I can do those things. And I think for some of these guys, you become a celebrity in which the normal things you were able to do in college, you're no longer able to do. And this isn't me making excuses. You know, some of the things that we've seen and some of the things that have happened with our athletes are unacceptable, right? And you have to set a better example for not only the kids, but for our league, and to make sure that, as we've talked about, the race issue of the stereotypes that we get as black men in America, you can't live up to some of those stereotypes, and we have to do a better job. But I think for us, it's about providing the right resources around them, educating them and preparing them for what comes with stardom, for what comes with money. And, you know, you grew up, I'm from Canton, Ohio, right? A very, very small city, a very, very small place, you know, 70, 80,000 people now, steel mill, blue collar, known for the Football Hall of Fame, nothing else. We got players coming from cities. You know, Herb Jones is on my team. He's from Greensboro, Alabama. They may have 4 stoplights in the entire city. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this is him telling me, like, he grew up in the woods. He grew up in an environment where you didn't drive at night because there was people, you know, pretending to be police officers pulling over black men and women and lynching them or killing them, things of that nature. Wow. Extreme things were happening where he grew up at in Alabama. You talk about the race factor. So you become a professional athlete and you grew up in that paranoia, right, in a small city. Then you become an athlete, and now you don't really want to go out to eat on the road because unless you got security or a private room, it's difficult. Like, the normal things that the average American citizen can do, an athlete can't. And they're judged for it, they're critiqued for it. And I'm not saying that all the things that we're doing are right, because it's obvious that that's not the case. But we have to figure out how to maneuver this society in which, to be honest, at times it's set up for you to fail. You know, you can't go out to eat. You can't be in a club without somebody trying to take a picture of you. You can't be in a lounge. Like, it's always the constant threat of somebody trying to set you up to put you in a bad light because they want the clicks. They want the story. They love a story where you fail, and they don't really celebrate the stories in which you succeed. Like a LeBron James, who, you know, and I'm referring to him because I'm from Canton, Ohio. This guy was named the chosen one at 15 years old. Have you ever seen someone live up to and surpass hype like this ever? Like, it never happens that way. And I think more stories of our players should be celebrated. You know, the impact that we have as a global league with the faces of our league now continuing to transform. You got Joel Embiid, who learned how to play basketball at 16 from, as he jokes, you know, watching white guys shoot on YouTube. Like, that's how he learned how to shoot. You have Nikola Jokic, you have Giannis, you have all these players who come from other countries and they're able to make a name for themselves, make a living for themselves. because of our sport. And I think we don't celebrate the collective enough on how successful we've been as a league and how successful our players have been. We only point to the bad stories.
I'm sorry about that.
He's so right about this, though. You are a bum. I don't care what you've overcome. I don't care that you're the top 1% of the top 1%. And holy shit, what the hell is Jokic? Where did he come from and how can he do that? You're a bum, McCollum. What have you ever won?
Exactly. It's like people were questioning Melo for not winning a ring. And it's like, well, what about the success that he had in his career?
But
like,
he's got to win a ring, CJ.
He's got to win a ring.
He's got to win one.
Come on,
CJ.
McCollum, grow up.
I mean, you know that, CJ. You got to win a ring, man.
You got to win a ring. You got to win a ring. I don't care that Steph Curry's over there.
And not in college or the international level. You have to win the NBA ring, too.
Correct.
It's like, goodness. Like, the expectation of success is different for an athlete. And it's like, if you look at the average citizen that works a 9-to-5, how successful are you at your job? Like, are you winning the equivalent of what a ring is in your job each year? Like, no, probably not. Like, if we're being honest, like I always say it, and I joke with one of my coaches, David Vanderpool, he used to always tell me, the world needs average people too.
Exactly. Thank you.
Wow.
It's the way it works.
Thank you for
the
my.
World needs
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for my automatic rebuttal on social media.
The world needs Cody Zellers. I mean, you're right.
No, hey, that guy was a top five draft pick.
Success story.
There are average NBA players in the league, but the average NBA player is better at their job than the average 9-to-5 worker
that
because we're in the top 1%.
That's correct.
All of us here are.
CJ, you can't be on enough, sir, and I will leave the people with this since you brought it up in spirit and theory. The Man in the Arena from Theodore Roosevelt. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end of triumph of who, what happens, new gods.
And has a ring, I was going to say.
Okay, all right. See you later, CJ. Thank you for being on with us.
Send us the wine.
No problem.
Send us the wine, hey, CJ.
Please, you got my number, right? And if you don't DM me, I'll make sure you get it. Ashley's on this call. We'll make sure you get the one. Make sure the whole studio, how many people in the studio? We'll make sure.
Approximately 27.
29.
McCollum Heritage 91 is the wine. They love free shit. Thank you, CJ, for being on with us.
No problem. This is my only caveat.
What's
I'll
that?
Send the wine, but you must at least drink it on the show or bring it on the show.
With you. With you.
Drink on the job?
Drink on the
show. Who are you talking to?
Can I drink it while I watch the Steelers game?
Just pull it out. Just pull it out, hold it up, and
say
CJ
less.
Sent us this.
I got you.
Say right. less.
Well,
I will pull it
down
out.
Here. We'll enjoy your company. Get down here. Thank you, sir. Appreciate talking to you.
All right. Blessings. You guys have a great one.
You Thanks, too, CJ.
Thank you.
Don Le Batard.
I don't think in 2021 I can get away with my Michael Irvin radio show impression.
No, probably not.
Stugatz. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Kev.
That's okay. I think that's still okay. I think you can do
that. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, Kev. This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
For everything that I did wrong in yesterday's George Carl interview, which I truly, truly botched, one of many I botched recently, the last one that you just heard, I won't say it was a good interview. I just let the man talk because you need to hear what he's saying. Because if you don't understand the humanity of these people who have become just transactional numbers that run up and down in a court, and Anthony Davis, you blow. Yeah, I understand that you're kind of great at this, but you can't be trusted in game two against that thing, that Jokic thing. But you suck. Anthony Davis, and there might be pressure in that that doesn't feel good.
Hachimura's defensive metrics against Jokic were way better.
I have no doubt there is pressure that doesn't feel good, but you understand that just, and I've said this forever, Dan, I'll say it again, that people just don't want to hear that. They're like, hey, sign me up for $400 million. yeah, I can't go to the movie theater, but I can rent out an entire movie theater whenever I can. Why? Because I have $400 million. So I'll deal with your issues for $400 million if you want to deal with mine for the $60,000 I'm making.
Stugatz, you don't want to hear that.
I think a lot of fans just don't want... Listen, I'm sympathetic to it more than I've ever been. Like right now, not, as I
not,
get
not,
older.
Not really, though, Stugatz, because in presenting that argument, I understand how you think you're more sympathetic to it, but it's coming off of a conversation where I'm asking C.J. McCollum, I mean, the undercurrent of it is, hey, is John Morant going to hurt himself?
Right.
And the answer to people, a lot of people, is you're throwing it all away. I thought the $400 million was all good. What are you doing? And so you're sympathetic to it, but not really. And I'm not blaming you. It's how these athletes get dehumanized by the people who are watching for the performance, and you're not human beings. You make a lot of money, and hey, you feel a lot of pressure? Boo-hoo, sorry. That's what the money's for. That's what you're being paid for. You feel a lot of pressure. You're supposed to be superhuman, not human, superhuman. That's, you got a superhuman paycheck.
But are we supposed to feel their pressure? Because we have pressures of our own. And so that's what, like, do people really care about their pressures? I think most people see, hey, I have pressures, you have pressures, but you have a lot of money, therefore it's easier to deal with your pressures.
You're so right.
Than it is mine.
This is the part that you're totally right about. The person who doesn't know if they're going to be able to pay for the lights and the warmth and the kids and their food next week doesn't think that there are any problems bigger than that. And if you're living in that America under poverty, I feel for you because I understand how you would arrive at that conclusion. It is an enormous pressure. And you think if somebody just took it away by giving you $100 million, that you deal with whatever other pressure there was. But it doesn't mean that those other pressures don't also make you worry that John Morant might harm himself.
Right.
And you both can be in different kinds of pain, and I understand how the money takes the humanity out of that.
I think that one thing that he said that is interesting that we need to remember is two things, really. First, a lot of the opinions we have about athletes, us as fans, not us as media members, comes from narratives that we see on TV or in popular media. And so it does make it easier to rag on some guy if you see someone on TV do it. So his commentary about the media's responsibility, I think, is an important one. And I think the second thing is that the pressures now are different than the pressures 20 years ago. We probably would have seen this a lot more 20 years ago if we had smartphones. And now there's just different pressures. It's not better, worse, whatever, but it's different. You have to always be vigilant when you're a public figure, whether you're an athlete or whatever else, to toe that line, because everything you do is going to be made public at some point, or you have to assume that it will be. So I do empathize. I mean, I think I hear you. I hear your point. I think it is definitely an opinion that a lot of people share with you. But I think you strip away a lot of human nature and humanity from people when you just see the bottom line on their contract, which is what a lot of our conversations end up turning into.
Yeah, all the conversations, be it celebrity, sport, politics, it's usually a discussion from have-nots leading to the haves by comparison. I mean, you can have an upper middle class person be a have-not when the discussion and the comparison point is John Morant. And I don't know if you guys saw the Penn Princeton study that got aggregated a bunch. It was a recent study on, does money actually make you happier? And the headline was totally buried because, yes, in the simplest terms, more money means you're happy. But there is a minority that is already miserable. And there is no amount of money that will make them happy.
And they and all should be follow us on Twitter. They're all in the Levitard Show Twitter replies.
Well,
it's crazy.
I would
people who are financially well off but unhappy, more money won't fix their problems.
I want to, as I believe this country undergoes something of a, like, almost group mental health problem, because we all have some sort of anxiety and we don't understand anybody else's anxieties and more don't even want to hear about them. But when she talks about the pressure on an athlete to just perform, how about the pressure, Jessica, for Stephen A. Smith and all of us old timers to keep up with, how do I stay virally ahead of those people? Oh, I've got to be more outlandish. I've got to be more critical of Anthony Davis.
I've got to hire Bailey Carlin to handle all my social media metrics.
How?
Hey, you were ahead of the curve, Dan.
Mike, when it is by accident, when it's incentivized to just, hey, Cowherd, just get the thing that goes viral. And all that Anthony Davis is a piece of content to be dragged. All John Morant is, and now with politics and where we are in America, all John Morant is a tool to be dragged until he actually harms himself. And then we are like, well, what did we do? What did we just do to that? And I don't want to infantilize professional athletes, but it's a lot, man. Your family, you having money and your family needing protection, or just needing, your family just needing, in whatever forms it is, as you become an economy as a kid, I don't think it breaks everyone, but I also don't have a connection culturally or generationally to the kids who have been addicted and contaminated by social media.
Well, the most difficult part of the mental health discussions with Nuance, like we ran into this plenty with Antonio Brown, is there is a world where you can have mental health anguish, you can have a mental health sickness, and still be an asshole on top of that, and still make bad decisions on top of that, that can't necessarily be pinned on your mental health. And you say, what did we do to John Morant? Well, what did John Morant do to John Morant? Right. What did John Morant's circle do to John Morant? I know that we're culpable to some degree, mainly with our reaction to the first time the mental health card was pulled, because a lot of skepticism met that. A lot. Less so now with these IG posts.
You're putting a lot on Colin Cowherd. I mean, you are.
Just as a symbol and a face.
No, but he has a job to do, too. He has pressures. He has anxiety. Agreed. He has stuff that he has to do.
And Stephen A. Smith.
Let's just all blame Colin Cowherd and call it a show.
Yep. I'm not just...
Well, didn't you blame Stephen A. to his face once?
Let's blame Stephen A. too.
It's all of Stugatz. Us. And Stugatz. But mostly Stugatz.
Yes.
Oh, it's him.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.